Thank you all for coming on the last session of the last day. Do appreciate somebody's here. Today I'd like to share with you the results, both agronomic and economic, of field scale studies evaluating the base genetics and the double and triple stacked versions of the old or first generation transgenic traits. And these are field studies in a continuous corn and a corn soybean rotation. Right click or left click? Left click. Okay, this is the hybrid we picked. We picked 37F73 and DKC5262 base genetics. They're probably grown on 20 to 30% of the grain acreage in New York. And we picked their double stacked and triple stacked versions. The base genetics, of course, had to receive a pre-emergence herbicide. And the doubled and triple stacked received a single application of Roundup. As of yet, we do not have Roundup ready resistance in New York. So single application of the Roundup. And we had it also in the corn soybean rotation, and we do not have any rootworm problems with first year corn. So we used the base genetics and a double stacked hybrid, same ones. Pioneer and DeKalb donated the seed, so we showed up, helped the growers clean out the seed hoppers, and from then on in, growers did all the work. We took the measurements. So they did the planting, harvesting, spraying, side dressing, and so forth. Usually they were 12-row planters. Well, they were all 12-row planters, and we had 6 rows of each plot, 6 and 6. Let's take a look at weed control, and the plots were about 1,000 to 2,000 feet in length. Now, if you heard my talk Monday, one of the things I love doing is picking a cool day in June, walking up and down the entire length, back and forth, counting corn plants. It's sunny, it's nice, you get a good view of what's happening there, but we also do that with weeds, and in this situation, it's easy because there's not many weeds. So we walk up and down between rows 3 and 4, 4 and 5, counting the number of the weeds. There's 4 of us. Each person gets a rep. And we walk about 3 miles. It's better than sitting in the office. Okay, here are 4 sites. These are the counties in New York. Base genetics received pre-emergence. The doubled and triple stacked received Roundup. Weeds per meter squared. Generally, weed pressure was quite low as expected. In fact, a single application of Roundup provided a little better weed control, mainly because late April and May were somewhat dry in both growing seasons, so the pre-emergence got activated slowly over time, and a few of the early weed emerged lamb's quarters got a little head start on it. Likewise, in the corn-soybean rotation, generally, the weed pressure was a little higher. I should say these two are dairy farms. These two are what we call cash crop operations. Generally, a little higher weed pressure in the dairy farm. So with such low weed pressure, I mean, you read the weed science people, you know, in their check plots, they get 1,000 weeds per meter squared. We got a quarter of a weed per meter squared. So I can write off weeds, I think, as contributing or translating into any impact on yield. The not-so-fun part of this study was working with the entomologist, going out, digging roots so the entomologist could take ratings on them. Fortunately, he provided some young studs who could dig the roots, but myself and my technician got stuck carrying the roots out. 30 roots per plot, about 500 feet, 800 feet into the field. When they were dry in 2007, it was easy. 2008, they were wet. It's a drag. Okay, so let's take a look at our root ratings. This is a 0 to 3 score, 1 being the economic injury level, 1 root node completely pruned back. And you can see 2 things. Number one, rootworm pressure was quite low, as it typically is, especially on second-year corn. And the rootworm trait did provide better control, but generally ratings below the economic injury level, so I'm writing off rootworm as a contributing factor for yield. Back to the fun part of the job. Well, not so fun part at this field, but generally the fun part of the job, in that I get to ride the combine with the growers, and I'm up top, and I just focus on rows 2 and 3, and I count the number of large plants in that 1,000 to 2,000 foot run. Now, I must admit, well, only in one instance where we had a lot of lodging did I have to count by tens, because I just couldn't keep up. But generally, I could just count 1, 2, you know, it was easy to count. This was lodging below the ear. So let's take a look at the number of lodged plants per meter squared. And again, at our two dairy sites, we had a little bit more lodging. This is 0.8 and 0.78 plants per meter squared. Final stands about 75,000 plants per hectare, 7.5 plants per meter squared, probably about 11% lodging. The rootworm trait, mostly eliminated any lodging problems for European corn borer, and reduced it, but did not eliminate it in Jefferson County in the double-stacked hybrid. So reduced it, but not eliminated it. Took it from 11 to maybe 5%. Same thing in our corn soybean rotation. Lodging was even a little higher. Now we're up to 17% and 11% at the other county. Again, reduced it. And here, it was significantly less, but we're still getting 11% lodging, indicating that the lodging that I was seeing at that site was not totally associated with corn borer. It was anthracnose from another mechanism as opposed to corn borer. So we got some lodging differences. We've written off rootworm as being a contributor to yield differences, and probably weeds as being a contributor to yield differences. So let's take a look at the yield data. And again, I've averaged, there was no hybrid by trait interaction. One version of one hybrid yielded about 20 bushels higher, but there was no interaction. Hybrids come and go, so why say which one did better? Okay, at our two cash crop farms, no significant difference in yield. There's no lodging, there was no rootworm, and there was no weeds. So there should be no difference. Where we had lodging, where we could reduce it from 11 to about 4 to 5%, we did pick up a significant response at both sites. Again, if you heard my talk Monday, pretty easy to pick up significance in field scale studies. In the corn soybean rotation, again, the cash crop farms, nothing happening whatsoever. Well, we had 17% lodging, reduced it to 11%. We did pick up a response. Here, when we reduced lodging from 10 to 5%, no response whatsoever. There was no interaction with sites as there was in the corn-on-corn rotation. So averaged over the sites, we picked up a response. Oops, having my problems here. So for yield data, 3 out of 8 sites, we got a positive yield response. 5 out of 8 sites, no response. And we could say, well, that's the end of the story, but we also took grain moisture. Now, again, if you listen to my talk Monday, I'm a little uneasy with grain moisture. We take 2 samples, but we're running, you know, 3,000 pounds sometimes, and we're up there getting a little cup twice. But it was consistent, so I think the data is pretty good. Consistent increase in moisture associated with BT for European corn borer and also for rootworm, although I think it was probably more for European corn borer. About 1.6, 1.7% higher grain moisture. Again, one version, maybe it was a point higher in moisture. The other version, the other seed company, if you will, was 2 points higher in moisture. Doesn't matter which one, those hybrids have pretty much come and gone. So that was in the corn-on-corn rotation. Likewise, the corn-soybean rotation. So even though I'm uneasy with taking grain moisture, such small samples out of a big volume of grain, it's consistent. So I think this is pretty good. In the literature, half the time, there's no difference. Half the time, the moisture is a little higher with BT corn, especially for European corn borer. So let's take a look at the economics. So with the economics, and I forgot to bring the paper, so I hope I remembered everything right. That was the years, those 2 years, corn price averaged about $4.60 in New York. It was $200 a bag for the base genetics or the non-transgenic, $233 a bag for the double stacked, $248 a bag for the triple stacked. So it was about $80 per acre, dropping at 32K, $93 per acre, and $99 per acre to seed those varieties or those different traits. Roundup was high those 2 years. Cost of Roundup was about 16 an acre. Cost of pre-emergence was $28 per acre. So the cost of seed and the cost of herbicide balanced each other out. So really the whole thing that drove the economics was the yield response versus the increase in moisture. 3.5 cents a point per bushel to dry it down to 15.5%. LP gas was high in those years. So where we got a yield response, got a nice economic response, $18 per acre. That's pretty good money. Here it was neutral, but here we lost money because the drying costs were higher and we got no yield response. In the corn-soybean rotation, where we had a yield response, we got a pretty nice $25 per acre bump. Well, we had no yield response, but yet we had a point and a half higher grain moisture. We lost $20 per acre. So, averaged over the 8 site years, 3 times we made money, 3 times we broke even, and 2 times we lost money. So, how do we manage this? Well, in New York, European corn borer is an occasional pest. And rootworm is an occasional pest, too. Second-year corn, we almost never get a problem. 20-year corn, we can still not get any damage, even though we're looking for it. So we got occasional pest. So how do we manage it? Well, it's really a risk management tool. And probably what it comes down to is if any of our growers had to deal with this over the last 10 years, where they're going 1 mile per hour. Keep in mind, they didn't put in anything for labor costs or more fuel if you got to drive slower to harvest those large plants. If anybody had to deal with this, they're probably jumping on the BT corn for European corn borer because they never want to have to do this again, especially if they had to harvest one way. For those who have never really had much of a corn borer problem, they'd go with the base genetics, provided they can find some seed. And so with that, I just throw it back to the grower. It's your decision. What's your risk? Thank you very much.
Questions? Peter?
No, I may have missed it, but would the growers who are using base genetics, would they've used the soil insecticide or because they don't have root?
No soil insecticide. One dairy guy had been using it, but I said no soil insecticide. So there was no soil insecticide in this study. Sorry, I didn't clarify that.
Based on these results, I mean, having a lodging event like that is catastrophic and it's a pain and everything else. Would you still, given these results, would you want to exert pressure on the seed companies to allow or continue to have choice in the different combinations of traits?
I don't lay trips on anybody. I just present data. It would be nice, but I don't know what it goes into segregating seed. I mean, I don't know enough about it to make an informed, strong statement one way or another. This I know about. 3 out of 8 times you'll get a yield response. 2 out of 8, you may lose money. 3 out of 8, you'll break even. That's all I can say. Tony?
So what is the causal factor of higher grain?
Oh, not to, we did not. not to offend anybody, when I spoke to the growers with the seed people, they, I always say, oh, better plant health, you know, just you would expect this. But I don't know, maybe there was a little debris coming along with the event that also could have caused that. I don't know. We did not check anything else out. But for the benefit of the growers, seed company, I just say, better plant health. You can see how I'm kind of a wuss. I don't like to offend anybody.
And if that were the case, and if it were solely due to the pests, then you would think that if you applied an insecticide treatment for both BT as well as for rootworm, that you would have had the same benefit.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's probably something else involved than just...
artifact that we have the BT treatment. What are you seeing in your stuff?
Well, sometimes it's just an artifact of what else came with it.
Right, exactly. There's more debris along that came along for the ride.
There are two different hybrids all the time.
Yeah.
Do you notice it in the BT3s or the
triplets? The triple stacked? One hybrid was 2 points higher, one was 1 point higher. I'm not going to tell you if it's Eogod. Well, Herculex was 2 points higher, and the Eogod was 1 point higher. I can tell you guys.
And your recommendation for the future of research in this area is what?
This is old. We got to move on. I did my research. I gave my recommendations to the grower. It's up to you. It's all probabilities.